you know, had those fees. And here's my question for the week. Oh, this is not this good. Okay. Wait, I did it. My question is, who is your shepherd? My question is, who is your shepherd? And I'm asking that, who is the one who is leading you, who is guiding you, who is feeding you in your daily life? Of course, today our answer will be Jesus, right? All of you know that the answer is Jesus. But just think for it, who is your true shepherd in your daily life? Is there a shepherd in your life that guides you, that leads you? Maybe the first person that you think about is your parents, right? Your parents definitely feed you, and your parents definitely guide you. They will provide you instruction, they will let you know what is right and what is wrong. It's our first instinct, right? Then maybe you think about your teacher. Maybe your teacher, they give you knowledge, they give you guidance, they will tell you what is a good path to walk into, they will tell you maybe you are good at that, therefore go into this occupation. Teacher is someone who will guide you also, right? And also, maybe sometimes your friend will give you some guidance. Maybe when your friends are playing Brawl Stars, you will play together, right? So if your friends do that, maybe sometimes you will do that. Oh, it's okay, I also play Brawl Stars. It's not something ashamed to do. But like, your friends will do something, and sometimes you will follow. They are sometimes a kind of shepherd for us, right? And also, the last one, I would like to say the society is our shepherd sometimes also. The society tries to tell us what is right and what is wrong. The society tries to mold us into a certain person so that we can be useful for the society. Do you think these are good shepherds that is satisfying? Oh. I can see someone like just shaking his head already. Yeah, and I'm sure that this shepherd functions in some way. Without our parents, we'll die. No one can feed ourselves when we are young, right? But no. Are these the final answer?
You can be adopted.
Yeah, you can be adopted. That's true. Yeah, but still, that's a new parents, right? You need someone.
No, you can go to the... no one has adopted you yet, and you go to the center, and people still give you food.
Kind of. Then the society becomes your shepherd, right? Yeah. You can't really escape from having a shepherd. But my question is it the ultimate answer? Sometimes, do you still feel lost when you have all these shepherds? I guess so. Sometimes maybe you encounter a difficulty, you feel very confused, you don't know what to do. Or maybe sometimes you feel like, oh, I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm not sure what is in the future. Who can guide me to go into a better future? Sometimes, maybe these people can't give you an answer. So what shall we do? We need another shepherd. And today, we want to know who is the good shepherd that we can rely on. And of course, again, we know the answer is Jesus. Okay, we all know that the answer is Jesus. But we want to know what qualifies Jesus to do that. What qualifies Jesus as a good shepherd? Why Jesus can be the good shepherd that we can rely on? So, shall we pray? Shall we pray and start today's sermon so that we may know who is the good shepherd? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your passage so that we may think through who is the ultimate shepherd that can guide us through. Lord, we know that you are the good shepherd, but we also want to know how you are going to guide us and who are you? Who is this good shepherd who can guide us through? So Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes, open our ears, so that we may understand, so that the word not only comes to our brain, but it also comes to our hearts to touch us. May the Holy Spirit fill us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So, I would like all of you to read together, just to read together and feel the sermon. So, let's read the whole passage together so that we may have a general idea what this passage is about. So, 3, 2, 1.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father.
Very good. So before I go into this passage, I have another passage, but you don't have to read it, and I will read it for you. And I want you to observe how similar it is. It is a passage in the Old Testament. It's from Ezekiel. Just listen to it and see how similar it is. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Oh, to you, shepherd of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherd take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flocks. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they become food for all the wild animals. Does this sound similar to the passage? No? This passage is saying that in this time of the Old Testament, which is before Jesus, there are some religious leaders in this room. But they are not good. They only care for themselves. They give everything good to themselves, like they eat every good thing, they clothe every good clothes, and they slaughter the good animals to eat. But they never care for the sheep. And that's why they do not care for the weak, they do not care for the injured. There was no shepherd. It's the situation that the Israelites are facing at this time. But the desperate situation is not the end. There's a promise by God in this passage. It says that, for this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down. Declares the Sovereign Lord. I want to ask, who is the shepherd here in this passage? Who is going to be the future shepherd? Who is going to be the future shepherd in this passage? It's God. When the religious leaders are not performing their role, God Himself is going to be our shepherd. And that's the background of our today's passage. The Israelites, they long for a shepherd for a long time. They have no one to be a good shepherd for them. They are longing, they are hoping. And then Jesus came. Jesus came to be the good shepherd. And I just want you to notice that if today you feel like your life is a bit lost, if there is some difficulty that you don't know how to handle, you don't know how to overcome that, I just want you to know that it's not the end, because Jesus is the promised one who is going to be the good shepherd for you also. Mm-hmm. So let's look at this passage. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, this is so surprising. It's so surprising because none of the Old Testament passage about shepherd talks about this. Mm-hmm. They did not expect the shepherd will lay down his life. But Jesus here is saying that I am the good shepherd, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to crucify myself for you guys. Jesus is going to crucify himself, lay down his life, which is everything, for you. And he makes a contrast with the hired hand. He says the hired hand, when they see the wolves, they just run away. The hired hand flee for their life, but Jesus lay down his life. One is running away for their own life, but Jesus laid down his life for you. And there is a more underlying reason why Jesus do that. Here, the hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. So in contrast, Jesus concerned a lot for you. Jesus concerned so much for you. The hired hand only concerned about themselves, but Jesus concerns about you. You know, when I'm preparing this sermon, this part is so hard to think of any example or analogy. It's because I can't think of any real life example that can be so much love as Jesus. I can only think of so much negative that contrasts about it. I think the reason is that our culture is not a very loving culture. Don't you think so? Like, recently I'm just scrolling Instagram. Okay, so if you're scrolling Instagram, you see many like motivational quotes. And then when I'm looking at this quote, they say, oh, love yourself, don't love the others. If you don't love yourself, you don't deserve to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
They always advocate you to love yourself instead of loving others. I feel like we are in a culture that advocates us to love ourselves more. And why is it so? I think it's because we are all afraid to be hurt, right? If you love someone, but in the end, that person doesn't love you back, it's hurtful. You risk yourself to love another person, but when that person doesn't love you, it's risky. You feel hurt, you feel rejected. That's how we feel. That's why all the Instagram are saying to you that love yourself, don't love the others. It's so true, right? Just to share with you a very brief story. It's too personal. Maybe I want to close the door, but like, let's close the door anyway. Thank you so much. Yeah. So, like, I recently broke up with my, like, ex-girlfriend, okay? So, before breaking up, actually, I feel like I didn't owe her anything. I did my responsibility, okay? And then, like, I often travel, like, 1.5 hours, just go to her house, and travel 1.5 hours back. So, I feel like I didn't owe her anything. So, I feel like even if we broke up, I have nothing guilty in my heart. Which is all good, right? But after I broke up, I just recognized that actually my love is very calculative. When she gives me like maybe 1 unit of love, I will pay back 1 unit of love. If she gives me 2, I will pay back 2. So, it's a calculation. I am still calculating whether my effort is worth doing it. And I just want to say that Jesus' love is not enough. Before we can even pay anything, Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus' life is not calculated. It's something we can't imagine because it's not the culture of this world. But Jesus is doing that for us. So this is my first point for today. It's not something difficult. But today, if we have to choose who we should rely on, shouldn't we rely on someone who truly concerns for us? Sometimes, like, even when the society or like when the government says they care for you, do you think they really care for you? They just receive the salary, they want to receive your tax, they want to do their own agenda.
There's 2 things you guarantee this world: pay taxes, and go to school.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, we really want someone who concerns for us, and that's Jesus. That's the first point I would like to make. Then we would like to know why Jesus would do that. Why would Jesus even do that? It's so crazy, right? You love someone until you crucify yourself. Why would you do that? Let's look further into the passage. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He repeats again. And then he said, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." The term knowing, is it familiar to you? Sometimes when we say we know someone, we just say that, oh, maybe like we have met once, and I know him, I know his name, I know what is his occupation maybe. But the knowing here Jesus is talking about is not that simple. In the Old Testament, it is talking about having a very intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It is talking about a husband and a wife. When they come together, that is knowing. Jesus wants to have a very intimate relationship with us. It's not superficial. It's not just a hi-bye friend, hey, like hi, and then we just go on. It's not that kind of relationship. It's as intimate as a husband and a wife. And then we got our surprise here. How intimate it is? It's as intimate as the Father and the Son. If you know that, like Jesus always said, the Father and me is one.
Mm-hmm.
We are just one together.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a perfect union. And Jesus says that he wants to have such a relationship possible with us. Then we have to look at the context. Who is Jesus here saying to? Of course, Jesus like here is saying to someone at a stage, not to us, right? Jesus here is saying to someone beside him, not to like someone 2,000 years up in the future. Let's see. When Jesus here is saying to the Jews around him, actually he specified, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus here is addressing you. Jesus here is not just addressing to the people who is 2,000 years ago. He's addressing the Gentiles, which means not Jews. Today, whoever is not Jewish, you are included in this area. Jesus says that he also wants the same kind of relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's that intimate relationship, like a husband and a wife. Brothers and sisters, it's like something that we can't really imagine, but I think it's true. And I think this is the solution for our lostness. Sometimes we feel lost, not because we encounter difficulty, but sometimes we feel lost because we are not connected to anything. Imagine if you have no parents, if you have no friends in this world, if you doesn't have a school, you have no classmate, you are just alone in this world, how would you feel? Probably you will feel a kind of loneliness in this world. You feel like there's no direction. Maybe you are not connected to anything. There's no passion. You need something to concern about. You need some relationship in order to make you feel the direction of life. You need something that you are connected to in order to have a passion. And Jesus here is saying that he's always there. He's always there, looking forward to develop a relationship with you. Whenever you turn back to Jesus, he's always there. Whenever you want to come back to Jesus, he's always looking forward to talk to you, to comfort you, to encourage you, to help you. This passage actually reminds me when I'm having my like first time full-time ministry calling. So as you know, full-time ministry is not an easy thing as usual. Like, it's not a like very easy decision to come study abroad and then just to leave my hometown. And I feel so scared when I receive my first calling. So basically, I flee away. When Jesus called me, I just rejected. So it's a normal response, right? I don't feel so guilty, actually. But anyway. But afterwards, like when I'm hearing a sermon, interesting, it's also a passage on Ezekiel. And the preacher is trying to explain what it means by the word Ezekiel. And he's saying that, you see, there's an E-L at the end of Ezekiel. And he says E-L means God.
Mm.
And he says that whoever the people who have a name with an E-L ending, they belong to God. For example, Michael. And then, you know that it's not a good logic, actually. It's not a good logic at all. But at that time, I'm so scared. I feel like God is trying to call me specifically, directly. You know, that preacher doesn't mention other names afterwards. I feel like his mind is just blank, and then he doesn't know what he's talking about, so he just continues with his sermon. But I'm so shocked. I can see how God is calling me at that time. Of course, I'm afraid. But at the same time, I'm joyful. I feel like there's a sense of purpose in me. I feel like my life is not just with a direction, but there's a purpose, there's a direction. So today, brothers and sisters, if you feel lost, if you feel like there are some difficulties that you can't overcome, if you feel like sometimes you feel lonely, that you don't know where to go, I hope that you can depend on the Good Shepherd, Jesus, because he's the one who desires a relationship with you. You are not just alone in this room. Wherever you go, whenever you are, Jesus desires such a relationship with you, and he's going to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Can we ever say more? I think this is sufficient reason for us to rely on Jesus. This is more than sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the passage doesn't end here, so we have to continue. Mm-hmm. And there's more for Jesus to say. In verse 17, he says, "The Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again." Interesting. Jesus is already hinting his resurrection. And then he says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Is there anyone forcing Jesus to do so? Is there anyone forcing Jesus to lay down his life? Not really, right? Even though Jesus is crucified by the Roman Empire, he is like nailed onto the cross by soldiers, he's put up onto the cart by the Jews, Jesus here is saying that no one forced him to do so, but only he himself and the Father is the reason why Jesus has to crucify. Jesus here is totally free to do so. Jesus is not forced, he's totally free to do so. I'm not sure what would you do when you are free. If today you get a holiday that you can do whatever you like, what would you do? Maybe you'll go to take a nap, maybe you'll go and play some video games, maybe you'll hang out with friends. What does freedom mean? Freedom means that you can do whatever you want, and then what you do is your highest priority. Yes?
Freedom means not to not go to school.
Freedom to not go to school,
oh.
Right? It means that going to school is not your priority, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Actually, when you are free, you will just do something that you want to do. You will be very sincere, you will genuinely do what you want to do. That's your highest priority. That's what you truly desire. And here, we want to know that what Jesus truly desired. What Jesus truly desired is that he wants to lay down his life for us. It's not like Jesus wants to suicide. Jesus never wants to suicide. But Jesus wants to lay down his life for us in order that we can rebuild the relationship with him. That's what this passage is meaning. The freedom here Jesus has means that our life, our salvation, is his highest priority in this world. So, this is what we gain from this passage. We depend. I want all of us to think about who are we depending on? And maybe Jesus should be the answer, because he's the one who truly concerned for us. That's not easy. And he's also the one who truly desires our relationship with us. And lastly, this love is genuine. It's not fake. So many of the time, like when you are in a society, or maybe just in a friendship, sometimes you feel like the other person is not genuine, maybe, or sincere. But Jesus here, his love is so sincere. He's totally free, but he chose you, and he wants to save you. That's Jesus. How would you respond? Would you rely on this good shepherd? Maybe the answer should be obviously yes, but that's not the case. as low as some aftermath. And then the Jews heard all these words, and then they become divided. Some of them say, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? This guy is mad. This guy is insane. Don't listen to him." But others said, "These are not the saying of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Some believe in Jesus, and some not. Maybe you have already heard the previous sermon from man, right? "I'm the door of the gate." Is it? Yeah. Jesus here is saying that some will listen and some will not. Are you the one who is going to follow? Are you the one who is going to accept Jesus? Are you the one who is going to welcome him to be the shepherd of his life, of your life? Just a final word. I know that like many of you are like maybe like you're still young comparatively. I guess like many of us, we can say that we are young. Maybe at this point we feel like we need a shepherd. And someday you will imagine that you can be independent. Someday you will imagine that you will be more mature and that you can deal with all the difficulties. But to be honest, that's not true. Even when I'm already 25, coming to be 26, and stepping into 30, that's crazy.
And you're still playing All Stars.
Yeah, that's true. I'll play Cross Up till 70. Yeah, but I still feel lost many other times. And even my parents still feel lost. Even my grandpa still feel lost sometimes. Age doesn't solve the problem. Even if you grow older, you still feel lost. We still need a shepherd. But Jesus here is giving us an answer. He is the good shepherd that we can rely on for our whole life. Jesus is the shepherd that we can rely on for our whole life. So just want to encourage you today, if you need someone to rely on, here's the answer. Jesus is the answer. Lastly, I would like all of you to confess together. Let's confess together. Jesus is our good shepherd,
mm-hmm.
by Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to read it loudly,
mm-hmm.
together, and we can think through this passage.
Mm-hmm.
We can together acknowledge who is the good shepherd in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, let's read it together. 3, 2, 1.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen.
Shall we pray? Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you because you are the good shepherd for our life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that in you, we have no other needs. Your grace is so sufficient that we don't have to worry for our future. Even though we can't see the future, we are not even a prophet, but Lord, you are going to lead us through every circumstance. Today, we see that you are the shepherd who really concerns for us. You are the shepherd who desires to have a radically intimate relationship with us. And Lord, you are the shepherd who genuinely loves us. So Lord, we hereby confess that you are our good shepherd. And Lord, may our life wholly depend on you, because you are the answer for our life. Lord, help us to remember you wherever we feel lost, wherever we feel there's any confusion in our life, whenever there's any difficulties. Lord, help us to remember you, because we know that you are the answer, and you are by our side every moment. So Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.